This is QLV on WDIY 88.1 FM, and I'm your host, Adrian Shanker, he, him pronouns. I'm Executive Director of Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center. QLV, Queer Lehigh Valley, is a celebration of LGBTQ plus culture and community in the Lehigh Valley, featuring monthly conversations to educate and inspire listeners throughout our region. February is Black History Month, and today I'm here with Justin Parker Fields, the leader of Black Lives Matter Lehigh Valley. Welcome, Justin. It's so great to have you on QLV on WDIY.
Thanks for having me, Adrian.
For our listeners, Justin uses he, him pronouns. Justin, can you share a little bit about what Black Lives Matter Lehigh Valley has been up to?
Yes. So Black Lives Matter Lehigh Valley has been going through a reorganization. We are trying to be creative in seeing how we're going into 2022. Everyone is really zoomed out and Google Meets out and every type of virtual out. And we are we're looking, you know, to see what's going on with activism, politics, self-care. And we're moving forward with seeing how we can implement that in the Lehigh Valley.
How did you get started with Black Lives Matter Lehigh Valley?
It was by mistake, I almost want to say. I literally woke up one day and told Kevin, my fiance, I think I want to have a protest downtown Allentown, you know, for George Floyd and all these other countless murders. And I had done it 4 years before, and two people showed up. We'll say four. Two of them are family members, so they don't count. but I made a post on Facebook, and it started growing legs. And so that ended up us meeting, you know, the mayor, chief of police, some, you know, local politicians, and we had a protest literally the next day. And when I went home that night, Kevin said, okay, well, so what are we doing next? And I'm like, well, that's it. We did the protest. He's like, no, we have to keep going. And that's how Black Lives Matter Lehigh Valley was created.
You've been a vocal leader for the movement for Black Lives here in our community. And you're also a visible LGBTQ plus community leader. You've always been out about your family and your life. Tell us a little bit more about the intersections, not only for your own identity, but for the movement for equity and liberation for marginalized communities.
Yeah, I mean, when we're discussing, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, and even access, there are so many different intersectionalities. You know, when we talk about Black Lives Matter, there's Black women, there's Black men, there's Black trans women, Black trans men, myself as a gay Black man. And there's so many different intersectionalities. I mean, even to this day, like, I'm still educating and learning as I go, because that's important. You know, we can't just shut ourselves off and just self-identify and say, okay, I'm only worried about people that look like me and identify as me. I've learned along this path that there's so many different intersectionalities, you know, especially within the Black community and LGBTQIA plus communities, and learning to be mindful and respectful and just trying to educate myself, even with pronouns. You know, I'm 38 years old, so I kind of almost consider myself like, you know, an old school gay. And so a lot of the, you know, the terminology and stuff, I'm just like, what is this stuff? There's so much stuff out there. But it helps people identify, and it gives a voice and an identity to people who were otherwise marginalized or not even thought of at all. So I'm happy to see intersectionalities being discussed and referenced and communicated and educated on, because it's important.
And, you know, in addition to intersections with our lives, we can also talk about solidarity across movements. One of my favorite activists historically is Melanie K. Kantrowitz, who once said, solidarity is the political version of love. What has it meant to you as leader of Black Lives Matter Lehigh Valley to think about solidarity across movements?
Solidarity, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement, Lehigh Valley movement, was super important, because this has always been a Black fight. And I think that we realized with the pandemic, people were tired, and they had to witness George Floyd on TV. They had to witness it on YouTube. And that's where, like, we got a lot of allyship. And, you know, we use the word allyship a lot, but it really is solidarity. And, you know, it doesn't have to be you or someone who looks like you to experience that. There were a lot of mothers, you know, who really connected with George Floyd calling out for his mom. And that really hit home to people. And so solidarity, you know, across all movements, you know, we've partnered with Bradbury Sullivan, you know, and, you know, providing the mini grants. It's important, you know, to reach out. And solidarity, you get more done, more accomplished, because everyone's sort of almost on the same page, going towards the same movement. You know, today it's going to be, you know, Black Lives Matter movement. Tomorrow it's going to be LGBTQIA+. I mean, it's always going to be, you know, round, you know, nonstop. But the solidarity is what keeps us together in the fight.
I love that. The solidarity is what keeps us together in the fight. That's wonderful. So February is Black History Month, and one of my favorite historians, Hugh Ryan, once wrote, "Without a past, we don't have a future." Can you talk a little bit about the types of inspiration you draw from activists who came before you?
Yes. I mean, even in my family and outside of my family, my grandmother, Linda Parker Fields, was a big driving force in my life and all of our lives. And Black History Month was super important for her. My birthday is January 16th, so she always tied my birthday into Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. So like, I always had to do like a book report or some type of research on that. And so when we're looking at historians, like there's always like, you know, the big names and the noticeable ones, but you know, just the average, you know, mom or the average grandmother who didn't get up from her seat on the bus too, you know, she doesn't have to be Rosa Parks. She could be somebody in our family, one of our, you know, one of our elders or our ancestors. And so those are the kind of stories I like to draw on and listen to, like, you know, people that I haven't heard about before, because we always do the book reports, you know, and not to say like MLK Jr. is not important and Rosa Parks and, you know, the freedom fighters, but it's really all of our stories. That's what makes it relatable. It really could have been any of us. And it was our grandparents and great-grandparents who were going through this back in the day. And so that's what we can draw on.
Yeah, movement's not just about a couple visible leaders. Mm-hmm. It's about a community, right?
Yes.
That's moving forward to achieve collective liberation.
Yes.
I really love your appreciation for the unheard stories of activists from the past. As you know, you might know, Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center is actually located on Bayard Rustin Way. We actually petitioned Allentown City Council to change the name of that street to Bayard Rustin Way. And it was only the second time that Allentown had named a street after a non-resident.
Wow.
The first was MLK.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bayard Rustin as a gay Black man is often thought of as like the person that people look to as, you know, the activist of the past. But you're right. Like, there are so many, and there are so many whose stories haven't been written into biographies or made into movies, and we don't always know their names.
Yeah, true.
So Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center was so thrilled to honor you as our Grand Marshal at Lehigh Valley Pride. And we're going to be honoring you again, actually, at our gala and our LGBTQ plus Community Leadership Awards on March 23rd. Can you talk a little bit about what leadership means to you?
Yes. And thank you on behalf of our Change Now team for that. That was just super amazing and exciting. Still feels like a dream. For me, leadership is being dependable and knowing that people can rely on you. Sometimes almost any hour of the day. But leadership also importantly is building those up around you. I've always said I don't want to be the only one. I don't want to be the main one. I don't want to be the only leader. And even in my professional life, my personal life, and in the nonprofit sector, I want to build up those around me. You always have to train a replacement almost in a sense, right? And for me, it's you know, finding people that are not always like-minded, but have that human personality trait, being empathetic, you know, understanding that you have to put yourself in other people's shoes at times. And then also too, making those decisions that are hard to make that keep people up at night, and then doing it kind of with grace and style too.
Grace and style. Love it. What do you imagine are the greatest struggles right now when we're talking about the fight for equity and liberation for underserved communities, LGBTQ communities, Black communities?
I mean, some of the biggest struggles right now are unsheltered crisis. And for those who aren't familiar with the term unsheltered or homelessness crisis, there's a lot of stigma and bias and discrimination and racism, especially when it comes to our transgender communities, especially when it comes to our Black and brown communities, Black women. I always say Black women are one of the most oppressed people in this world. And there's always conversations around it. There's always, you know, policies being drawn up about it, but there's never that protection. I look a lot to Bradbury Sullivan a lot of times with regards to protections in Pennsylvania and what's there and what's not there. And if it's happening or not happening here, it can elsewhere. Diversity, equity, inclusion, that's always a go-to for even corporations and a lot of people, but even the access. You know, what does your company's board look like? What does your executive team look like? Are you at least, you know, trying to reach out and educate yourselves and try to be more open to people that don't look like you, you know? And even in the Black community, you know, it's we're talking about intersectionalities. It's not just enough to, you know, if you're, you know, a Black nonprofit or a Black community leader to have other people that look like you, but are there women on that board, Black women? Are there Black or people that identify as LGBTQIA plus on that board. You know, it's not just about, you know, straight black men and straight black women leading the charge. It's going to take all of us, and in every way, shape, or form.
It's going to take all of us.
It is.
What advice would you share with folks who are interested in becoming activists in the Lehigh Valley?
Do it. Don't think twice about it. If you think about it, you're going to start doubting yourself and second guessing yourself. I guess I kind of always was an activist. And that was just my grandmother instilling that in us, you know, fighting for what's right and, you know, fighting injustices. But just do it. You know, it really just takes one voice to start a movement, to do something. And even if you don't really believe in yourself, you know, find a support system. You know, find an accountability partner, make yourself believe in yourself, you know, do things, self-care and stuff like that. But my advice is just do it. If you have anything that you're passionate about, if you want to save the animals, do it. You know what I mean? You're only going to get this one life and you're not going to get a second chance to do it over. So might as well do it now.
In your view, what actions can, I'm going to use the word allies broadly. So in your view, what actions can allies take to be stronger supporters of BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, other people of color, and LGBTQ plus communities?
They can have those conversations where the diversity, equity, inclusion, and access is not currently in the boardroom, in professional settings, having that conversation with your racist uncle or your prejudiced aunt. Being an ally, there's a certain privilege in that. And allies really should utilize their privilege to ensure that BIPOC voices are heard, that they're represented by people that look like them. You know, that's, you know, great that if people are in positions, but I can speak for myself. Black people can speak for themselves. LGBTQIA plus can speak for themselves. Same thing with, you know, the Latino community. And it's really important that they speak up where others wouldn't. Because if not, we're still not going to have, you know, the access. And DEI would just be, you know, just an acronym that businesses use to promote anything during Black History Month.
One of the areas of my activism has been in health equity, fighting for health equity, which basically means to try to fight for a world where all people can access the highest quality of our health. And there's been a conversation over the last few years about declaring racism as a public health threat. Mm-hmm. And a number of cities have actually done that, where they've said racism is a public health threat, and this is why. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about that idea.
I think that racism is a public health threat because when you look at the construct of it, racism, if it's able to deny you adequate healthcare coverage, housing, food access, then that's a crisis right there. And it is a public health issue, especially if it's denying people who are already, you know, in those marginalized communities, denying them even further of these basic necessities and rights.
We're going to take a short break. You're listening to QLV with our guest, Justin Parker Fields, and we're talking about Black History Month in the Lehigh Valley. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Galactic Travels brings you hour-long soundscapes of electronic, ambient, and space music. Each month's special focus highlights an artist, label, or event with the featured CD at midnight. That's every Thursday night at 11 right here on WDIY Allentown, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, 88.1 FM, WDIY.org, and the free WDIY radio app. Many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to QLV. We're talking about Black History Month in the Lehigh Valley with Justin Parker Fields. So I understand that you have a very exciting play that you're going to be in. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yes, I was cast as Harpo in Color Purple, premiering at the Civic Theater, February 25th to March 13th. This is my first play, my first musical. I mean, I'm a Broadway kid at heart. I mean, my cabaret is my favorite. But yeah, I went and auditioned. I didn't think I was going to get it. You know, I'm 38 years old. I don't think I have the best singing voice. And this is my first play I ever acted in. And I was super excited and shocked that I got the email back that I got the play, the position.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what are the dates of The Color Purple at the Civic Theater of Allentown?
It runs between February 25th and March 13th. They run Thursday through Sunday.
And for folks who are interested, again, Civic Theater of Allentown, how does acting in The Color Purple resonate with your activism and also intersect with, you know, the way that you see your involvement in the Lehigh Valley?
Yeah, I had a friend, you know, who started a hashtag, Chloe, she's from statues to stages. And so, you know, when we're talking about, you know, what does your activism look like? The arts, like, wow, hello. Music, poetry, spoken word, theater, art. It just so many shapes and forms of that. And so it's an additional outlet, you know, to be able to, you know, I guess show Black excellence. And really, you know, when it boils down to it, Color Purple is just, it is Black history. It's iconic. People know it word from word. It's a staple in the Black culture and the Black families.
How is this play a reflection of Black history? And do you feel that it's portrayed correctly?
Yeah, so with Black history, it really gets to the root of our history. You know, we're talking about Celia and her family in Atlanta, underage, you know, married to an older man, the racism that they endured. I mean, even if, you know, the famous Sophia scene where, you know, Oprah played Sophia and, you know, she said, hell no, she didn't want to be the mayor's wife's maid. And she got beat up and thrown in jail for that. So it really, you know, a lot of the injustices, you know, we're not too far apart from where we were back then. We've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. But it did show, like, you know, how we were looked at less than citizens and humans back in the day.
So in terms of having a long way to go, I want to invite you to share with our listeners what some of your radical dreams for the future of the Lehigh Valley are when it comes to BIPOC, again, Black, Indigenous, other people of color, and LGBTQ plus communities.
Yeah, so I'd like to see people that look like me, not so much on the receiving end of donations and grants, but more on the giving end, being in positions of leadership to make those decisions of where funding goes, and, you know, and to sit on some of these boards and to make some of these executive decisions. I see an Allentown where people that live downtown are able to enjoy downtown, that they have access to restaurants, businesses, activities that marginalized communities that they live in normally wouldn't have access to. I'd love to see a Black mayor in Allentown, and I'd love to be there on her swearing in day. there's a lot, and we can dream, but I think that one great thing about today is that we really have the option to make those dreams a reality. We don't just hear no and just take it. I've heard no a lot. I've been shut out of a lot. But I kind of use it as motivation to keep going, because it's not just a fight for me. It's a fight for you. It's a fight for your children. It's a fight for your family members, your grandparents, those who are no longer with us and couldn't fight or got tired of fighting. It's not just about one person. It's about all of us.
Another one of your identities is that you're a parent.
Yes.
Can you talk about how being a parent affects your activism as well, especially a parent who's also gay and Black?
Yes. So talk about intersectionalities, right? And talk about a whole, it could be a sitcom here. But yeah, my daughter, Shiley, super proud of her. She's 18. She's a senior in high school this year. My son, Shamir, he's 14. He's a freshman in high school this year. And Shamir has autism. And when you hear and see the horror stories of police brutality, especially against Black and brown people. My son has a learning disability, and I always think, you know, if there's ever a situation where, you know, it could either be him in the wrong or even him not in the wrong, and he doesn't understand what comply means or understand, you know, to follow directions or rules because of this learning disability, my son could be a statistic. We could be marching for him. I take that very personal, and I take that personal for everyone out there. I think that's one thing that, you know, you're talking about solidarity as parents. There's a solidarity, and I think that's why we had such a outpouring of allyship and solidarity with George Floyd, because that was somebody's son. Breonna Taylor was somebody's daughter, somebody's niece. You know, even if you don't have children, if you're an aunt or an uncle, it hits home, and it's like, it could happen to you, and I don't want it to happen to anybody else or anybody's children, which is, you know, why I fight so hard for this.
Is it fair to say that your activism in large part is about, you know, following in the path of those who came before you and also doing it for those who'll come after you?
Yes. We stand on the shoulders of our elders and our ancestors who came before us. And really their fight was even harder. I was never thrown in jail for my activism. I was never physically harmed from activism, and they went through that. So I stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. And then also too, I'm lifting up, I don't have strong arms, but I'm lifting up those who are coming after me, because it's important to clear the pathway for those who are up next.
You mentioned book report history. How do you see Black Lives Matter making book report history for the future?
Man, sometimes it still doesn't dawn on me that we started a movement, and not just for Black lives, but it started a political movement out here as well. It kind of transcended into, okay, you know, yes, we have, you know, the George Floyd and the Breonna Taylor situations and all of the countless other ones. How do we make effective change? We know that change is in policy and legislation, so we need to ensure that local elections happen. And we have Natalie Santos on city council. We have people like Eric Rodriguez running, you know. We have, you know, progressives and people that want to make a change for the better for people. And we understand that in order to make that change, I mean, I can march and protest all day. It's not going to make the change that I needed to make. And so policy and legislation is where it's at. And we saw a lot of voter turnout and a lot of education, you know, with Lehigh Valley Stands Up and other organizations as well that we partnered with to get that push forward.
Yeah, thanks so much for that, Justin. And just as a reminder for our listeners, WDIY and also Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center are both nonprofit, nonpartisan organizations. But we are so glad to get that information from you about kind of how you see the future and also the past. And, you know, I think as we're talking about Black History Month, it's important to think about it not only as this is history that happened once a long time ago, right? It's history that is continuously being made every day. And you've been a big part of making that history in the Lehigh Valley. And so I'm going to go back to radical dreaming. You talked a little bit about what your dreams are for Allentown, but what do you imagine, you know, if the activism is successful, what do you imagine, you know, Pennsylvania looks like in 10, 20 years from now?
I imagine that it looks like a state with an even level playing ground, with access for anyone, you know, whether you're applying for a job, you're applying for housing, you're going for medical care, no bias. And that just the thought process, you know, if you see somebody that looks like me, you know, that a million ideas of racism or different prejudices don't, you know, run through your head and you just see me, yes, as a gay Black man. But hey, maybe as your friend or maybe as a leader, and not have those like preconceived notions about me. That's kind of what I see in Pennsylvania in 10 years.
That's great. Human beings.
Human beings.
But also human beings who have multifaceted identities that we're yes. very proud of, right?
Yes.
We want people to see who we are, but also we want to just be able to be sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. Finally, Justin, where can our listeners learn more about Black Lives Matter Lehigh Valley?
Great question. They can find us at blmlehighvalley.org, and that redirects to our social media pages as well. And so you'll see us out there all over.
Thank you so much, Justin. Again, we look forward to honoring you at the 2022 Lehigh Valley LGBTQ+ Community Leadership Awards, which will be on March 23rd. More information for folks who might be interested is available at bradburysullivancenter.org, and also more information about The Color Purple at Civic Theater of Allentown is available at Civic Theater of Allentown's website. You're listening to QLV on WDIY 88.1 FM. Thank you to our guest, Justin Parker Fields.
Thanks, Adrian, for having me. It's been super awesome to be here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, listeners, for making time for this conversation. You can also find past episodes and other public affairs programming at WDIY.org and on all major podcast platforms. I've been your host, Adrian Shanker. Thanks for listening. Have a great evening.